Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And as we begin the program, we've got Andrew here in the studio, and I have my first question of the morning because I've been paying close attention to the concerns related to taxes. I just would like to start off with a quick question. I know you've got an item to talk about, but what about refunds? Are they going to be as timely as they have in the past? Because the president and the governor are all saying file now to get those refunds, but I've been hearing that the IRS is overwhelmed.
Yeah. So pretty good segue there, Lockwood, because what I wanted to start with this morning on my end is a hot off the press item relative to the IRS, which is the suspension of certain notices that are going out. So, you know, your question and my topic kind of line up pretty well, because the issue that we have here is the backlog that the IRS is currently dealing with. So, you know, your question is, when am I going to get my refund?
Right.
You know, and the answer is that unfortunately we have unprocessed returns from last year that the IRS is still dealing with. So now the stacks are getting higher, so to speak. And so they're looking for ways to take pressure off of the IRS. They're diverting other employees over to processing returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're in the audit division, for example, you might now be just processing returns, because the backlog is real. And so one of the things they're looking to do is that because, paper is their enemy at the moment, is to stop these automatic notices from going out. And the reason for that, Lockwood, is because you can imagine every time a notice gets sent out, there's going to be more than likely a response from the taxpayer. So what does that create? More paper. So now you've got returns, you've got responses to notices, and the issue we had, Lockwood, is because returns weren't getting processed in a timely manner, there could be a return sitting in the hopper, ready to be processed, yet notices, automatic notices are going out, you know, like a CP-80, which is an unfiled tax return notice telling you you have not filed your return, when literally it's sitting in the stack waiting to be processed.
Okay.
So I'll go through the ones that they've suspended. It's about 8 or 9 notices that we've suspended. And then I'll give you some guidance relative to what the IRS is saying. If you do happen to receive a notice while they're having to taper this thing down, as you can imagine.
Right.
It's hard to hit just the stop button because there's already notices that are being processed and sent out, and those are going to get sent out. But the notices that we're concerned about right now and the ones that are being stopped automatically are your CP-80, like I said, which is the unfiled tax return notice.
Mm-hmm.
There's also 2 more unfiled tax return notices, which is the unfiled tax return first notice and the unfiled tax return second notice. CP-59 and CP-516. And then we've got the final notice, which is return delinquency, basically saying, you know, if you file now, if you don't file, we're going to file for you is kind of that notice. That is going to be a CP-518. And then we've got some balance due notices. So CP-501, 503, 504, that's your first balance due notice. And then we've got a second balance due notice of 503, and we've got a third balance due notice, which is a final balance due and notice of intent to levy, which is to hit your bank accounts. That one is being suspended as well. And why are they suspending those notices? Because just like you could have a return in the hopper ready to be processed and then get a notice telling you you haven't filed your return, you could also have a payment that's sitting in the hopper ready to be processed, which hasn't been processed yet. And now you're getting notices telling you you owe when you do not owe, you do not in fact owe.
Okay, but let me present a scenario to you. I owe IRS, I have not paid IRS, so I am basically forgotten about for a period of time. But 2 years from now, when things finally calm down and they get everything organized, they discover, oh, I'm very delinquent.
Yes.
Now, what happens to me? Do I get charged interest for that period of time? Because I haven't gotten a notice. And so, you know, these notices carry with them a certain legal.
Correct.
Responsibility.
Yes. So, yes, the answer is that you would be getting charged interest during this period of time.
So, in other words, it doesn't pay to game the system.
No.
All right.
No. And that was where we're getting back to. What's the guidance at this point in time? You know, what is the IRS saying relative to these notices that are being suspended? And they're saying, look, if you have an obligation, you still have that obligation.
Okay. Right.
If you receive a notice, because a lot of, you know, notices that are not accurate have been sent out. But if you get a notice and it is accurate, you need to take action.
Okay.
You need to respond.
Okay.
But if you get a notice that is inaccurate, where you know you've already done what needed to be done, they don't want you now to call or send a letter or send a fax to the IRS to correspond. And the reason for that is very simple, because we do not want to have more paper at the IRS that they have to deal with. That's where they are right now.
It's almost circular thinking. Okay, we've got Vivian on the line from Atlantic Beach for our guest, for our program with Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. Vivian, good morning.
Good morning.
And your question?
I sold a house this year and I bought a house this year. What do I need to provide to the IRS?
Let me ask you a question. When you said this year, are you talking 2022 or 2021?
2021.
Okay.
2021. Yep. So that's the tax year that we're up. Okay. So when you sell your house, you should receive a 1099-S that will come in the mail. So whoever did your closing relative to the sale, so you could have an attorney as being the seller of the house. The buyer gets a closing attorney that represents them, but the buyer's attorney is the one that's going to generate that 1099. So whoever did the closing for the buyer would generate that document. If you have not received that document, then you need to reach out to that particular attorney and request that they furnish that document to you. Okay, so that's kind of step one. What that document gives you is your gross proceeds. Yes, your gross proceeds, whatever you received relative to that sale. But what it doesn't give you is what your tax basis was relative to that property. So Vivian, what you need to determine is, what did I purchase that property for? And then you get into some factors, which is, did you ever rent that property out? Was there depreciation taken on it? Did you make improvements relative to the property that would increase that basis? And then it's proceeds price minus your tax basis gets you your gain. And that gain or loss would be what you would report relative to that transaction on your return. Now, there's one very important rule is that if it's your primary residence, so if you've lived there and owned the property for 2 out of the last 5 years as your primary residence, so even if you moved away from that property, you know, temporarily, but you still meet the 2 out of 5 test requirements for ownership and use, then you can exclude a gain up to $250,000 on your tax return for reporting that sale. So that's a long way of me telling you that, yes, you need to report this transaction, but you may have a very good out using the primary principal residence exemption relative to the $250,000 deduction that you'd receive.
Vivian, does that help you?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, as far as your purchase of the house, the new house, luckily there's nothing to report there unless, assuming that's your residence, personal residence. They don't have to report saying I bought a property.
But my question for Vivian, and I'm going to step in, I'm thinking in the process of a rollover, there's no, like you do, for example, when you close out your retirement account.
Yeah.
If you roll it over into another retirement account, you avoid a tax penalty or tax responsibility.
What you're referring to, Lockwood, is what we call a 1031 transaction,
exchange,
which is called a like-kind exchange. That's for investment properties.
Okay.
And that needs to be set up prior to the sale of the property. If you want to continue right. you know, carrying real property for investment purposes without recognizing a gain relative okay. to that property. And what would happen in that scenario is that your basis in the property that you sell would turn into your basis under the property that you buy. So it's deferring tax. It's not eliminating tax that would be owed.
Okay. Vivian, does that help you?
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that very much. You know, the other aspect, and we were talking about this in relationship to the $200,000 primary residence. You sell the residence, yeah. $200,000,
yes.
Which is, I don't want to say deferred. It's just eliminated.
Yeah, that's the big thing about the primary principal residence deduction is you're looking at a elimination of tax. So okay. it's a very good benefit for homeowners.
But my question is, is that applicable for every house that you move into, or is that a one-time only opportunity?
Good question. Yeah, so you can use it multiple times.
Okay.
You know, 2 out of 5 years, you have to at least wait 2 years to use it again in full. There are ways where you can take a partial, depending on, and that's where you get into the weeds a little bit, Lockwood. But the bottom line it's not a one and done. It's not
okay.
like you have a lifetime single, you know, opportunity to sell a principal residence and eliminate the gain. You can use it. You just have to wait out the time period.
The two year period
is really what we're looking at relative
okay.
to ownership and use.
Andrew Foster with us this morning. The issue, tax filings, you heard that. We're, of course, going to be posting this. Andrew, thanks very much for being with us.